Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA, our program, of course, is broadcast live worldwide, and this is the Adrian Flannelly Show, and I'm delighted, indeed, to welcome Kathy Sahi, and Kathy, from age 12, good morning to your good self. And let me just ask you about this 12-year-old girl, your good self, getting involved in music primarily through choirs, and at age 12, you became kind of the envy of what would have been mostly adult choirs. So, how did choirs perceive you? A little snip of 12 years of age coming in, doing kind of bringing a new twist to choirs. First of all, tell us about you're from Balcarra in County Mayo. Where is Balcarra?
Balcarra, it's about 10 minutes from Castlebar. Mm. It's between Ball and Castlebar, kind of off. You go off to your right on your way to Ball.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, that's where I'm based at the moment with my husband and three children, and my mother lives with us as well.
Mm,
so we have a busy house here.
Very good. A house of music, no doubt.
Yes. Very much.
Yeah. Did, as you started off at that early age, joining choirs, had there been music in the house? Did you come from a musical family?
No. I was reared with four brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And me being the only girl, I was very lucky. I was maybe even spoiled. And I was very fortunate, and I got piano lessons from the age of eight. So, and that was at a time when nobody got a piano lesson. So straight away, I got asked to play at functions and to accompany Irish dancers and weddings and funerals and mm-hmm. all kinds of things, because I was the only one locally who could.
Yeah.
So, of course, that really helps your confidence, and the more you get asked to do something, the better you get at it. So, yes, by the time I was 14, I was playing professionally, I suppose. I was earning a little bit of money out of it. So I went to school, and when I did my leaving cert, the natural thing to do was to go and study music, which I did.
Mm.
And I took a little leave of my music then for a while. It was in the 1980s, which were recessionary times, as you will know, in Ireland, and I got offered a job for a bank. So, mm-hmm. of course, I took the job.
Yes.
So, but music was still very much in the background in my life at that time, and I could not wait to get into it full time. And indeed, I got my opportunity about almost 20 years ago
mm-hmm.
to take redundancy and make what I could of it, and I have done.
Good for you. You know, you're a piano teacher primarily, but obviously from your singing experience, there is a very close relationship there with, you know, so you teach singing, and how did you get into the singing, dancing, piano teacher? Was that,
it all came from piano primarily, yes. When I took redundancy from my job in the bank, I decided I was going to invest in music, and I mm-hmm. bought myself a set of handbells,
mm.
beautiful brass instruments, and I went around to schools in Mayo and further. I've been to Dublin and other counties, in Ireland. I even went to the UK, actually. And I taught handbells in the classroom. And from that, I was asked to... I was asked to accompany in school musicals and things like that because I could play piano. And that developed into, could you put on a school musical? So that's where the choir experience came from. I had studied it in New Ireland, and so I started to use it again. And that's one thing led to another, and I got asked my first... job outside of local parish choirs was with the Chapel Street Gospel Choir in Castlebar. They had heard I was local and that I could work with choirs, and I have done. So I've been with them for 11 years now. And one thing has led to another, and I work with 8 choirs now.
I know some of them. You know, you mentioned the Castlebar Gospel Choir, but you also... have the Vocal Essence Ladies Choir, every voice community
every
choir.
Yeah,
yeah, the Troubadours.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Vox Fusion.
My local parish choir here.
Yeah.
Vox Fusion, yes. Vox Fusion are the group who will be travelling with Fáinne Óir in September. They'll be adding some nice tones to the
scene.
So dancing isn't my forte at all, but I love to watch dancing. And when I was creating Fáinne Óir, I wanted it to be different, and I had a different picture in my head. And I just thought dance would be beautiful if the music is expressive enough.
Yeah.
And the dance is expressive enough, and we have the proper backdrops, then there's no need for anything else.
Mm. You know, we had earlier this week, we had a tremendous concert, and indeed something quite memorable at Lincoln Center. And we met with a couple of people that indeed have influenced your undertaking with this Fáinne or the translation that's Gaelic for golden ring. And we had, of course, the 5-time world champion and the lead dancer in Riverdance and Lord of the Dance, Kira Sexton was here. And were we ever delighted to have, the creator of Riverdance with us, of course, who's also...
Absolutely.
Yeah, he has a fondness for Mayo, of course, for the Irish Repertory Theatre was terrific.
That's right. I believe it was an amazing event.
Absolutely.
Yes. Kira is our lead dancer and our choreographer, so we're absolutely delighted that she has undertaken to do this with us. So we're thrilled.
Now you have a couple
of... So Kira is going to be...
Yeah. Go ahead.
Pardon me?
No, go ahead.
Sorry. Kira is actually going to take... she's going to take it to a different level. It's a contemporary show. So it's not going to be what you normally see Kira do. It'll be all contemporary, more expressive. A lot of facial expression, arm movement. So that will enhance things as well, and it's a different alley for Kira as well. So very excited to see what she's going to do with this.
There's also again, let's talk a little bit about the premiere, the world premiere taking place in Castlebar, and then it would be here in New York City. Fáinne Óir, it's an Irish famine musical. And tell us a little bit about the concept, because it's set infirmed times.
That's right. So it's, Adrian, this is a story that will stir every heart that has an Irish heartbeat, really and truly. It's set in famine times. I've had a huge appreciation for what happened in those years and a huge fascination because it was never spoken about when we were small, or it wasn't mm-hmm. really dipped into when we were in school. So the older I got, the more I heard about it and the more I thought, like, this has to be recorded. And of course it is recorded, but what really has struck me about the famine is it's profoundly sad and, you know, due to starvation, debt, immigration, but there were some happy elements. Mm-hmm. You know, families and communities worked very closely together as unified groups, and they supported each other and they helped each other stay alive. And this is, I'm homing in on a success story that has come from the famine. And, our Irish diaspora is a success story. We've generations of Irish Americans, Irish British, Irish mm-hmm. Australians. This needs to be celebrated, and people don't understand or realise how this has all come about. So my story is, it's sad, but there's a really, really happy element to it. It's a music and dance experience.
Mm-hmm.
It's 90 minutes of orchestral music. The story is about the O'Malley family,
mm-hmm.
the eldest daughter of five, Saoirse. She has her boyfriend. She's in love with Dermot. And, the story starts very happily. And then as things develop, the potato blight, typhus, Saoirse's mother, Maura, dies. And her father, Sean O'Malley, he has two choices. He can either immigrate himself or he can allow Saoirse to immigrate. And he has decided, like, if he immigrates, there's nobody to look after his daughters. So he has to find a way for Saoirse to immigrate. They have nothing now except for his wife's wedding ring. So he exchanges Maura's wedding ring for a one-way ticket to New York. And Saoirse goes reluctantly. She goes and she makes a new life for herself there. So I don't think I should say too much more about the story, or will I?
Well, first of all, you have to tell us about the little butchie that she was hooking up with, Dermot, which is Gaelic for Dermot.
That's right.
And because it is a love story in the midst of horrific tragedy. Now, who was Dermot in Saoirse's life?
Dermot is a neighbouring boy. And they grew up together, but as they got older, they got fonder of each other. And in the very beginning of the production, I suppose, it shows there's a love scene between Dermot and Saoirse where they realise finally that they're actually in love. So that's Dermot. Dermot is just a neighbouring son, and he's a farmer.
Now, we're talking about period where it is indeed most recently become a topic and awareness of the famine in Ireland, more commonly mm-hmm. referred to here as the Great Hunger, where, you know, a million people in Ireland, men, women and children, starved to death. And more than 2 million immigrated. And, of course, there is a clouded area of those who died en route, to their immigration places. Horrific stories have the stories were there, but no more than yourself saying, you know, the very little said about it in Ireland. Much of that in my time, long before yours, indeed it was, and still to a degree has, you know, an element, you know, of regret, maybe of shame. After all, we were the survivors, and as such, you know, the guilt syndrome was very much there. It is a new twist, and very appropriate, I think, to be able to hone in on how those in the midst of all that loss and enduring, you know, the tragedy, and right in the middle of it, this is the enduring love and the triumph of humanity, you know, through song, through music, through through dance. Again, incredible. It is.
And actually, I get very emotional when I talk about it myself sometimes, because it's always really good to have a positive outlook, no matter what the situation you're in. And we've all been in situations where things are just not going well for us. And you know, if you can just see the positivity, there's something fantastic there. And I do think, yes, love overcomes everything in this story, and it's very, very emotional. And not so much emotional about the hardship, but emotional about how they managed to make ends meet and make something really good from something really bad.
It's much easier indeed to you know, to focus on, you know, the most devastating period in Irish history, but again, you bring to our attention that somehow, you know, that life had to go on, even in the you know, starvation and again, I never pass up the opportunity to say that we're talking about a period in Ireland, primarily from 1845 to 1852, where we had all this death and destruction and disease at the same time that exports from Ireland, you know, to Britain actually increased. However, that's a political aspect that, again, it has been, you know, brought to light on our side of the Atlantic here, particularly in New York City with the Irish Hunger Memorial at Battery Park City, which was actually constructed right. It has already been actually completed or near it. When 9/11, it was in the shadow of, you know, one block away from the Twin Towers, and we all know what happened there. And that is actually a heavy-duty Mayo connection. It that memorial, the half-acre area down there, is indeed from my home parish of Attymask in County Mayo. And the distinction of the parish of Attymask was that it was the first parish in Ireland to report death from starvation. But Mayo was particularly hard hit, you know, during the famine there. So I think it's great and it's appropriate, and of course, your own is your own, so, and I've never been accused of being bashful about, you know, promoting and casting light in my home county, and we are delighted We're delighted that you're coming forth. Now, I tell you, you have a couple of notable co-producers, and Mike Cannon, I would say without fear of, repercussions, he has become Ireland's greatest promoter in the United States. Now, he also, of course, he established and assisted at the Mayo-based charities and organizations, including, of course, the County Mayo Foundation. That's a U.S.-registered not-for-profit here established to, assist Mayo charities and get support from the Irish diaspora. A very successful endeavor. An undertaking that many wouldn't touch with a 40-foot pole.
And he has been so encouraging. And I didn't realize is we use this expression here, well got.
Yeah.
Mike is one of the most well got people I have ever met in my life. Like, I was in New York with Mike a few weeks ago, and he knew everybody, and everybody knew him.
Oh, absolutely.
And, it's just so well respected.
And I tell you, I said it before, but if Mike gets a hold of your telephone number, I've changed my number about four or five times, and he still sent somehow.
You were not the first person to say that.
Oh, boy, I tell you. Yeah. He latches on and he motivates people to do, stuff that, and that's him.
I wouldn't be doing this only for Mike.
I know. But he brings goals to America, primarily New York and Boston. So this one is, indeed, we're looking forward very much to it. Now, Porrick McCall, also a co-producer here, tell us about him. An artist?
Right. Porrick is a Dublin man, but he's based in Achill. Mm. He's lived there now for the last 8 years with his wife and family. Porrick I met firstly as a saxophonist when I took up my post with the Mayo Concert Orchestra. Paul stood out as an amazing musician, a saxophonist. And my predecessor, George Lee, was retiring from his post, and the orchestra presented him with a painting of Porrick McCall's. And the moment I saw it, I fell in love with it. It's just so different. His work is, it's contemporary. It's very unusual. And so I knew from the get-go with Fáinne Óir, if I was using backdrops, Porrick is the man I was going to talk to. And I did. He's the most beautiful work, paintings. He's created a series, a Fáinne Óir series, which has, I think, approximately 20 paintings for backdrops. So what he has done is he's painted these, and they will be projected onto a screen for stage backdrops then. So he has the Fáinne Óir series completed.
All right. And just to let you know, listeners and friends, we have an expression in Mayon, it's a kind of a left-hand compliment, but we're not dealing with muck here, because, Porrick McCall, he has received like such tremendous honors, not just in Ireland, but the Hottinger Art Collection in London, the President's Office, Notre Dame University. So, boy, he is...
Absolutely.
And
he's very modestly so. Mm-hmm. I had no idea of the type of business he runs until I spoke to him about Fáinne Óir. I'm absolutely thrilled he's on board as well. Couldn't be better.
Yeah, and of course you have the support of Mayo County Council, And in the Cahira, there, Cahira, by the way, Franz is, that's the chairman. He, a councillor, you had Blackie Gavin, and yeah, and he performed, you know, the launch itself, and it's great, you know. And now, the show will premiere in Castlebar first, and that's when, in August?
That's in September.
Oh, September 2nd.
Friday,
oh,
yeah. September 20th, yes.
Okay.
So we're in the TF Royal Theatre that night. Tickets are still on sale for that. And then we travel to New York for our American premiere on the 26th of September. And that's in the Peter J. Sharp Theatre on Broadway.
Symphony Space,
yeah,
on Broadway. Well, it's Symphony Space, which is, again, a tremendous venue, a great venue. And,
yes,
yeah, so you're going to be in Castlebar. You have your bags packed and in the lorry ready for, you know, the flight over to New York.
Ready for action.
Ready for action. Well,
absolutely.
That's great.
I'm so looking forward to it. So, yeah, and I think there are something like just 100 prime viewing seats left in New York.
Yeah.
So, you know, if anybody's thinking they're going to go, maybe go on there and have a look at the tickets.
Yeah. Okay. For our listeners who may be, you know, concerned or listening to this production, and my guest is Kathy Fahey, the composer, arranger, musician, Fonya Orr, okay, is, again, Fonya is ring and or gold. So the website is www.fonyaorr.com. Now, I'll spell out Fonya Orr, which is one word, if you're getting the website, that is F-A-I-N-N-E-O-I-R. The composer, the co-producer, has actually sent us a recording of the overture, which Hans, we were specifically instructed not to use until at least the event in Castlebar is over. But again, we didn't quite understand the memo, so we're going to play it right after this. And Kathy, that's it. We're great for breaking rules over here, and particularly on this show. Good.
I'm glad.
Good luck to you. This is a great undertaking, and, you know, we're looking forward to it. And we get those tickets again.
Thank you.
Yeah. Friends, log on
to.
Right. Okay, Kathy. Kathy Fahey. Oh, by the way, just for the few days that you're going to be in New York again, go along with Fahey. Now, don't ask me why, but that's the way it was, wasn't it?
I love it. I only married a Fahey anyway.
Oh, God. Yeah. All right. Well, then that's it.
I was very impressed that you got that right.
Oh.
I was very impressed. Well done.
All right. Okay. Good luck again,
right,
friends.
You
can go to our website and you can log on to Fonya Orr, my guest, Kathy Fahey here. And again, as we get closer to the date, obviously, we will be, you know, promoting this. But now you've heard it. You've heard that the primary seats are really flying out the door. So, the event is taking place at Symphony Space, that's in New York City, up around the 90s on Broadway, a Broadway show coming our way again on September 26th here. Get on to, well, you can also call or make arrangements, I assume, with Symphony Space. Best way to reach and get information, www.faunia, or that's F-A-I-N-N-E-O-I-R, faunior, .com. I'm again delighted to have as a guest the composer, the co-producer, Kathy Fahey. Good luck to you, and we're excited about it.
Thank you very much, Adrian, and I look forward to seeing you soon.
Good, okay. And friends, you are listening to The Flannelly Show, coming from New York City and broadcasting worldwide. If you'd like to hear this interview, or for that matter, any interviews in the last, over the decades, log on to irishradio.com, irishradio.com. And now, okay, you're going to hear for the first time the overture from Faunia Orr.